Welcome to the Summit Church Sermon of the Week. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit summitsanmarcos.com.
I have a series that we're starting, and I'm really excited. Every time I start a new series, I always go through just this time of trying to figure out. I'll get like five messages crammed up there, and I've got to figure out which one and what to do, and this is one of those times. But I'm so excited on what God's going to do. Let's get this stuff up and going. Here we go. And I'm really excited about this series, and I really feel like it's a timely thing, and I'm blown away, and I'm growing. I love the Passion Translation. I'm not doing a plug for them. I'm just saying I've been stuck in Colossians, like, for just getting so much wealth out of Colossians is amazing. So, but the Passion Translation is just fabulous. We should stimulate our minds so that the word doesn't seem like you're stuck in a rut. You should be reading. So we used to just read, like, one year it was New International, and the next year it was the King James, next year it's the Amplified, next year it's the Message, next year. And the reason why we did NLT, whatever, we just switched our one-year reading. So you read the Bible through in a different translation, and you'll grow. Are you with me? But do something to stimulate your Bible reading so that you can just be full of the Word, because it's so powerful. I want to talk. We're starting a series today on defining the relationships. Everybody say DTR. Just say, I need DTR. And it always happens, right? Like, oh, I like this girl, but I don't know if she likes me. I don't know. So you better define the relationship. Then all of a sudden, you find yourself looking at a single person, you know? And then all of a sudden, you know, you're in a relationship, and you're like, we need to redefine this relationship because it went from friendship to something else, you know? And then you're in a marriage, and then all of a sudden, you find out, and you're like, we need to redefine our relationship because maybe you're at a plateau. Maybe you're stuck. Maybe you have issues. Maybe you have, you know, maybe, and it's not just relationships in a marriage. Maybe you're single and you need to redefine your relationships around you. Maybe, because we need to define relationships. And first of all, we need to define our relationship with the Master. We need to define that, and that will affect everything else you do. And I'm going to focus a little bit on that today, and well, both actually. But I want to bring us down to those, but I want to talk about some things that are going to give you real practical skills in relationships. How many love Danny Silk's material? I'm not preaching Danny Silk's material, but I love Danny Silk's material also. But one thing that I found in Danny's material is that I really love Danny Silk's material, and I really love, even talking about relationships, I feel like the stuff that we're going to be talking about over 5 weeks takes like, how many we understand the principle of being a powerful person? Probably if you've watched Danny's material, you understand that. We're all supposed to be powerful. There's powerful and not powerful people. Not powerful people try to manipulate to gain it. There's all kinds of things that happen when you don't feel powerful. And those are dysfunctional relationships. But we're supposed to be powerful people. We know who we are in Christ. How many you want to know who you are in Christ? Everybody should raise their hand. Don't raise your hand with that one. You know, we all should. You know, I don't want someone to get stuck out on that one. So just, we all should be there, but there's practical ways on how you can become a powerful person. And if you find yourself not being in a powerful position, or if you find yourself in a dysfunctional way in a relationship, you can grow out of your dysfunction with some basic, simple tools, and we're going to help you do that. So it's going to be awesome. Amen? How many have faith to grow in relationships? We can always grow. That's one thing that we're always doing as long as we're on this planet, is we are growing. And when we stop growing, it's like we stop experiencing more of life. But I just believe for you, I believe, God, that you're going to grow us and grow relationships, that we're going to grow deeper and more connected in the relationships that we have and the ones that we want to have. I pray, God, that this is a dynamic not only in marriage, but with our siblings, with our parents, with our friends, with all those around us. And I ask you, God, that you would give us tools to do that in the name of Jesus. And somebody agreed and said, amen. Well, we're talking about relationships. I was just thinking about a story one time, and maybe you've heard me share this before. I think Zachary was about 7 years old, and we were all on we're all on the beach. We're on the Gulf of Mexico, on these beautiful, in Florida, on these white sandy beaches. Teresa's mom owned a timeshare there, and we were at this timeshare. So we're doing this family thing. And Teresa's an adventurer, so she wants to go out and do the parasailing. So she wants to go on the boat and do the parasailing and, you know, get up there and all that. And she couldn't convince Zach to go with her, you know? So she's like, come with me, come with me. And I think Nathan was going up and Teresa was going up. And he wouldn't go. Come on the boat at least. He's like, no, no, no. So Zach tells her, he says, no, I'm just going to stay here on the beach with Dad. And we're going to go out in the water because you can't get him out of the water. He's a fish, right? And he's like, we're going to stay here and do some father-son bondage. Well, he had heard father-son bonding and stuff, but it just didn't click. So he just didn't know what he was saying. He doesn't even know what he's saying. He's seven. But he just knows that's good when a father and son spend time together. That's father and son bondage. You know, we're going to hang out together. Anyway, I thought that was cute. It was like, oh, Zach, I think you mean bonding. He's like, whatever, you know, little kid. But we all need connection times, and we need to grow in those connection points. Today, I want to talk about defining the relationship, but I want to talk about design of the relationship. So the series is defining the relationship, but I want to talk about design of the relationship. We're going to start in Genesis 2, in verse 15. The Lord God took the man, and he put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may eat, may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. Say, shall not. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. And the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Now, he never said that the man was incomplete without a woman. I know I'm rocking. Some of you are thinking right away. You're like, what? He never said the man was not good. Everything God made at this point was good. In verse 26, he said, and God said, let us make man in our own image according to our likeness. So if we were made in the image of God, we were made good. Are you following me? He said, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Say, we even have dominion over creeps. Don't say that. 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. Are you here? So what God did say is that it's not good for man to be alone. Man could not reproduce without woman. That's why homosexual and lesbian relationships, they're not God's design, because you can't even reproduce. And if that's what everybody thought from the beginning, we wouldn't even be here today. It's not God's design. But we were designed by a designer. And humankind was made for relationships. We were designed for it. So some people say, you complete me. That sounds cute and cuddly, and I get it. You know, it's awesome. You know, you complete me, Jerry Maguire, you complete me. You know, it's like, awesome. Oh, every woman wants to hear the man say, like you, like, make it all happen, and you're it. But what happens when they don't feel complete? You're also a jerk because you're not completing me. Let's just be real now. Hello, somebody. If that's what you think, then also when you're not feeling complete, it's your spouse's fault. And then comes the blame game. Just saying. Because obviously, they're not completing me. Now, people may not say that, but it's, you know, this is a vicious blame cycle, and it's either voiced or it's kept secret. Some people either use passive-aggressive things. Some people are internalizers. Some people just lay it all on the table, and they just tell them, you're a jerk, you're this, you're that, whatever. It's your fault. You should be doing this. If you did this, I'd be happy. This is like the source of most fights. Or they internalize it, and then they punish them with silence. They punish them, or then they're a volcano everything until the volcano explodes, and then look out, eruption happened. And then there's a big fight. Anyway, these are all stuff that happens. We see this, and we're going to look at that more closely later in this series, and I want to break it down so that that doesn't happen. But nowhere does the Bible say that man was incomplete prior to the fall and prior to sin entering, nor does it say that the man was somehow deficient and a woman makes him good. And in the same way, woman isn't deficient that somehow makes a man makes her complete. She wasn't broken. She wasn't deficient. Man is not the answer. I'm suggesting that God is the answer. If not, we're looking to a man or a woman to fix us. And if you do that, you're in a whole lot of trouble. Because then you start saying, if they only, then I would be happy. If my family would only, I would be happy. If my spouse would only, then I'd be happy. If my church would only, then I would be happy. If my connect group would only, then I would be happy. And it's like, really, is your happiness tied up in someone else's hands? Because that sounds like a powerless position. I don't think God created you to be powerless. He said to take dominion. And you were created in His image. God isn't standing up there going, if the people would only, then I could be God. He's not even threatened by anything. Amen. He sits in the heavens and He laughs when people think He's threatened. Fear doesn't threaten Him. Nothing threatens Him. So if we're created in His image, then we have to like realize what threatens us and what fear rocks us. And if it does, why? And maybe we should like get over that. Colossians 2, 9 and 10. I love this. I'm telling you, I'm just in love with Colossians right now. I'm loving this book. He says, for in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete. Say, I am complete. In Him. Who is the head of all principality and power. Please don't think that I'm starting a relationship series telling you you don't need relationships. This is not what I'm telling you. What I'm telling you is we find our completeness in Christ and we bring it into a relationship. And if we don't find our completeness in Christ to bring it into a relationship, then we're depending on these other people in some context, no matter what it is, whether it's spouse, friends, family, parents, siblings, whatever it is. And I love it in the Amplified, Colossians 2, 9 and 10 in the Amplified says, for in Him the whole fullness of deity, the Godhead, continues to dwell in bodily form, giving complete expression of the divine nature. Speaking of Christ, Father, Son, Holy Spirit is manifest in Him. He was fully God. And then He says in verse 10, and you are in Him, made full, having come to fullness of life in Christ. Ah, in Christ, you too are filled with the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and reach full spiritual stature. And He is the head of all rule and authority and over every angelic principality and power. So we know Holy Spirit's in us, but that means the whole Godhead, the presence, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the fullness of deity, that He gives us everything to live according to this divine nature. And if we're not walking in that divine nature, then we're walking less than how we were created, which was in His image. I'm saying that man was good and 100% good in his relationship with God, yet he was designed to have relationship. So when he's naming all the animals and he's good with God, tell me, show me where he wasn't good with God. Show me somewhere, read before the fall. You can't. But he was designed for relationship. And God made him with design to have relationship with God and humankind. And once we start with that understanding, we can grow in our relationships. And everything that truly matters really boils down to relationships. It does. Everything. If you say, well, you know, I have issues, and everything boils down to relationships. What's the one thing that's eternal that we take away from here? Relationships. What does God get when it's all said and done? Relationships. He gets a bigger family. It's relational. So relationships, huge. And, oh, God's so good. God's a relational God. Thank God. Thank God. Christianity is a relationship with Him. We got to get away from the cliches and start saying, I want a deeper relationship, God. I want to know You more. I want to hear Your voice more. You need to put a little bit of into that to go, I want to be more intimate with You. I want to know You better. I want to hear Your voice better. I'm expecting to hear Your voice. I'm sitting down and waiting till You speak to me. Oh, let Your love cover me. See, relationships are under attack in America. Relationships are under attack. When we define the relationship, that starts with us understanding our design, that we are designed for relationships, and then we apply some simple truths that God lays out, and then we can enjoy quality relationships, long-lasting relationships. So I want to give you three relational truths that will bring healthy and quality relationships. Number one, we are designed for relationships. You might say, well, that's simple. That's like the title. You know, this is what. No, you need to get it. Say it with me. One, two, three. I am designed for relationship. One more time. I am designed for relationship. I guarantee you the most dysfunctional thing you can do is to push away the relationships that God's called you to in your life. And the devil will tell you all the time, get away, push away from these people, cut them away, cut them off. There is times, oh, I said I wasn't teaching Danny's material, but I'm going to revert to one of Danny's material. It's awesome. He talks about these circles that we have a relationship. And I have a relationship with God. That's one circle. And then me and my spouse, the circle gets a little bit bigger. And then it starts going bigger when I have a family and it gets a little bigger. And then you have friends, it gets bigger. And you have a church and it gets bigger. All these circles. And sometimes you redefine those circles and you're like, you know, you're out of that circle again because maybe I can't trust you in that circle or in that level of intimacy. There's nothing wrong with that. That's actually a very quality and healthy thing to have borders and boundaries. But it's not healthy when you cut everyone out of your circles. When everyone's out of your circle and nobody's in your circle, you're in trouble. When you have only you for a counselor, you have a problem. When you only listen to you, there's a saying, you have a fool for a counselor, but I'm just quoting someone else. Promise you, I'm not insulting you. Genesis 2:21, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs. He closed up the flesh in that place. The rib which the Lord had taken from man, he made into a woman. He brought her to the man, and Adam said, now this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. They both were naked, and the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. God created Adam and Eve. This was the first family. And we see the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. God made man. After man named all the animals, he realized that man being alone, he needed to procreate. He needed that covenant. He needed that family and friendship. And so God actually created us with it. He made all the animals. Come on. If he made all the animals and he didn't put a desire for a relationship, Steve would still be out fishing and I would be out bow hunting somewhere on the mountains. If there wasn't something inside of me, and I'm not knocking relationships, I'm saying you could be independent, but you're not created to be independent. Yeah. So the Lord's going, I'm going to beat that rod over his head if he doesn't come home. You know, he's on his bass boat too much. No, there's a time when we need to have that, whatever your adventure is, maybe it's golfing, whatever it is. I'm just saying we need to have that adventure, and there's a whole creation out here where you can fellowship with God and be in creation. But we were created for relationship with humankind. So he made all these things, but then he created man and woman. Why didn't he create man and woman from the beginning and then all those things? I don't know. It's for you to think about. I don't even have an answer. Listen, he didn't make woman out of, you know, he didn't make her out of man's arm so he could just push her away. Whoops. He made it out of a rib somewhere close to his heart. And that's where she's supposed to be. Made it have a place that's vulnerable. We have our world double gold medal champion MMA fighter sitting in the room. How many know when you get a cracked rib, that's a real vulnerable thing? Have you had a cracked rib before? Yeah, you've had a cracked rib. It hurts. It hurts to laugh as well as cry, doesn't it? You don't want to laugh. You're like, ha, ha. Have you ever had a rib out of place? Have you? Because sometimes when you're back, it's a rib out of place, and then everything hurts. You're like, oh, don't. It's a vulnerable thing. He made woman out of a vulnerable place. And that is supposed to be protected. So this guy's a fighter. He protects his ribs. Because if you do that, that affects everything else. So God created woman, and man, you're supposed to protect. And family was formed as this visual for us to see forever. Part of our main job is we're protectors. Some men say, just grunt something. Just let me know you're in the room. Come on, amen me something. So family was formed and woman was formed out of a rib. And we choose to protect the family. We choose to protect that intimacy. And we choose connection. We choose whether our hearts are locked together or whether they're not. In his research, Dr. Dan Ornish, he discovered that loneliness and isolation increase the likelihood of disease and premature death by as much as 200 to 500%. In short, anything that promotes a sense of isolation leads to illness and suffering. And anything that promotes a sense of love and intimacy and connection and community, it's healing. Wow. Family's not man's invention, it's God's creation. So we have to settle, number one, that we were created for relationship. Not shallow how relationships. Relationship. Hi, how's it going? That guy's a jerk. Do you hate fake people? Real relationships. Even if you don't like something about me, I'm going to be me. It's one thing I committed. There's a lot of things people don't like about me, maybe, but I'm going to be me. I'm not going to be fake. At least I'm real. If you really don't like me, you really don't like me, but I'm going to be real. Everyone doesn't have to like you. If everyone likes you, you're probably doing something wrong. Because everybody's created different, and some people don't like certain things, other people or kinds and types of people, whatever. I don't know. But let's have quality relationships and be who God created us to be and be more like Jesus. I'm not telling you to be a cookie cutter and never have a conflict. If there was no conflict, you wouldn't even be on this planet. Because until we go to be with Jesus, none of us is perfect. Paul said, I'm aiming for perfection, but I've not arrived. So Ephesians 3:15 tells us God is God's creation. He said, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to his riches of the glory to be strengthened with might through his son in the inner man. The whole family in heaven and earth, even heaven is a family. God's government is family. So number one, we see that it was God's design. Number two, we were designed to make choices. And really, we're going to camp out on two. I really don't have a lot on three. We'll do that on another session. So if you're wondering how will he get through two and three, don't worry. Just relax. Okay? We were designed to make choices. Say that with me. I was designed to make choices. Good choices, I hope. Because if you got problems in your life, you probably made a bunch of bad choices. And your problems, your crisis is not based on one bad choice. Typically, it's a series of bad choices. Oh, I fell into sin. No, you made a bunch of choices to sin. And it's usually not one sin that really messes up your life. It's a whole bunch of bad choices. Oh, no, this relationship, it just happened. No, you were thinking about that. It conceived. Read James. It's another sermon. It's a whole nother sermon. We've been given the power of choice, and we've been empowered to make right choices. We choose how connected we are in relationships. If you don't hear anything, just hear this. We choose how connected. Oh, we just don't really get along that good. You choose how connected you are in relationships. We've been married for 50 years. I don't care how long you've been married. How connected are you? And what's your choice? If you both just settle for a low level of connection, you never have conflict. We never fight. It's because you have a superficial relationship. Now, not everyone who never fights doesn't have a superficial relationship. Please, I didn't say that. What I'm saying is some people choose a superficial relationship. That's why they never get in a heated discussion, because nobody ever touches each other's buttons, because you don't even go that deep. It's hi, bye, good morning. Yeah, I'm going fishing. See ya. Sorry, I'm picking on fishing. What's up? Probably because I like hunting, so I'm not picking on the hunters. Picking on outdoorsmen. How about the media? How about they clicked into their media? I'll pick on the media geeks. Come on now. They're just into their thing. They're on the computer. Yeah. Whatever it is, you make a choice how connected you are. The quality of that connection is your choice. No, you're really messing me up, Pastor, because we had it easy when we said, this is the way I am. That's the way you choose to be. And if you don't like how connected you are, you've got to make some choices. Change is only going to come through your choices. I was waiting for Bibles to come flying up here. No, change is going to happen if you lay hands on me, if I only get a prophetic word, if God would just break through. If you make a choice, there's thousands of promises that are conditional. And if you make some choices, you're going to walk in those promises. I'm not saying that it's only based on us. I'm saying there's a whole bunch that's based on your choices. And if you're choosing to go deeper and there's a little bit of mud you wade through to get there, praise God and thank God. I'm way off. I'm going to get back to my message. Somebody needed that because I went over there. All right. So in Genesis 3, God came in the garden and they sinned. And then he said, where are you? Where are you? Can we just answer God? God's calling. Where are you? Where are you with relationship to me? Where are you in your relationship, in your covenant relationships? Where are you in your friend relationships? People go, I don't need to go to church. Where are you? Oh, you don't need relationships in the body. We make a statement every time. I don't really need covenant relationships. I don't want to go there because those people will get a word of knowledge and they'll know what's in my head. Jeez, youth were like, Jesus, 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 Jesus. They see Pastor Taylor go by and they're like, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Don't get a word of knowledge. They walk in the supernatural. He's going to know what I've been thinking. I've been looking at dirty stuff. Oh my goodness. Jesus, 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 Jesus. It's like, I hear you crying out to Jesus to deliver you from that stuff. Oh, it didn't work. Shoot. I'm just messing with you, but like really seriously, do you really need the church? Do you really want the body? Because you're only one part. I don't need anyone. I got what I got. No part is sufficient in itself. Hearts are awesome, but they're not good by themselves. Hands are awesome. They're not good by themselves. The brains are awesome. They're not good isolated. You know, I just have a brain. The brain needs a body to function. The hands need the brains to motivate them. They need a heart to drive them. They need a, no, man, we need more heart. We need you. We need whatever you are, whether it's love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, or strength. We're all different, and you might be bugged by a certain type of person who always wants to do everything when you're like, we need to think more, and maybe the thinker's bug you and you're like, we need to do more. And the heart people, we need more heart. We need more heart, mind, soul, and strength. We need it all. We need the body of Christ. We need relationships. We need relationships that challenge us. We need to be around people who we're not like. That's a revelation. It's easier to gather everyone around me who's just like me. Of course, you're never challenged. Wow, I don't know why. I think I should put a big bowl and preach from a bowl of soup because I'm all in your soup. I don't know what's happening. I just keep going there. I don't know what's going on. So it says, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Cleave, interesting Hebrew word, debak. It means to pursue with great energy, to catch by pursuit. See, the majority of women hunger for connection. And I know this is typical, but it's usually 80% and 20. So there's about 20% men who will not bear witness with this. If you're one of those, that lady loves you because you really want connection. But 80% of men, probably, around 80%. The majority of men are the ones who have more of a problem with connecting than a woman. A woman wants to be connected. Connectedness is high on the list. Men typically have a greater struggle in prioritizing connection. But if connection is the goal, then pursuit is the priority. Wow. Right? Man and wife, one flesh, then they were naked. If all your goal is to be naked, you're in trouble. This is marriage. We just went right into marriage. If you're going on a date and your goal is what happens after the date, you're in trouble. You really should be, if your goal is being connected after the date's no problem. I'm teaching, man. I'm teaching. If your goal is to be connected, the after is not a problem. If your goal is just the after, you're in trouble. The connection has to be the goal. And if you want to be connected, you have to pursue. So in the pursuit, your goal is connection. We need a goal. We need to know what we're shooting for, right? You can't just not know. If you're fishing for bass, you don't go out with trout bait. He didn't know, am I going for bass or am I going for, what are we going for? And you're like, you got 1 pound test. The things are going to snap off. You ain't catching nothing on my boat. So I thought we were trout fishing. We're bass fishing. These lunkers will pull that thing off. They're gone. You're not even fishing with the right stuff. Well, is connection our goal? So listen, we've got to prioritize connection. And you can just listen to this now, but if it really doesn't become a goal, then it's just in your ear and out, and you'll be lost in the sauce again. So we really need to just get it. We were designed for relationships. That's how we were built. And we were designed to make choices. So we have to choose connection. And if connection is a choice, choosing to be connected in relationships because that's the way we were designed. That's why I'm going to choose that. And it's beautiful because even what what he quotes that with, for this reason man shall leave his father and mother. Paul reiterates it in Ephesians 5, one of the best chapters on marriage. Jesus restored our ability to be connected with others. And it's just whether, you know, we want to go there. So to land this thing, number three, which brings us to our third point, which I'm really going to preach a whole bunch in another series, in another message. We're designed to take responsibility for ourselves. So we're designed for relationships, got it. We are designed to make choices, good ones, I hope. But we are designed to take responsibility for ourselves. If we're always trying to fix our spouse and everyone around us, it doesn't come out so good. So if you're really good at fixing everyone else, it's like you need to be an expert at fixing yourself. So we're designed to take responsibility for ourselves. When we get that, if we get that, everything else is going to, we're in God's design. So think about it. God, he asked him, you know, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you to eat? He already knew they did. Woman says, you know, the man says, it's the woman you gave me, she gave me, he blame shifts, then I ate. The woman says, he says, what has this done? The woman says, the serpent deceived me, I ate. They both blame someone else. Both Adam and Eve didn't take responsibility for their sin, and if they would have taken responsibility for their sin, everything would have changed throughout history. But they refused responsibility. Sin entered, and the blame game started, and it's still here today, and don't get in the blame game. And I'm going to talk about I'm going to empower you to help you identify the blame game and to stop the blame game because it ruins his relationships. Until we stop blaming others for the choices that we've made and the choices we have the power to make, we will not have quality relationships. It just won't happen. We have to stop blaming others. See, think about this. Well, you don't understand. Wait a minute. Just think about this. We choose our thoughts. We choose our actions. Well, I couldn't help it. I just did it. It was a choice. You have the power of choice. You have the power of choice to do good. Or he wouldn't have told you to. God didn't tell you to do something you don't have the power to do. It was out of my control. No, it wasn't. But I'll tell you right now, you're choosing to think wrong because you think it's beyond your control. Anger is a choice. If you get angry and say, I couldn't help it. Yes, you could. But if you think you can't help it, you're probably going to do it. Because you have the power of your thoughts are in your power. So you have the power to think what you think. And I love this, like, you know, I just told, you know, Debbie Lipinski, I said, I just love you. You're always beaming with joy. You always have joy because she chooses to have joy. You know, it's like Danielle. Danielle's middle name is Joy, but it flows out of her anyway because she chooses joy and you choose to rejoice. That means I had joy and it's gone, so I'm going to bring joy again. I'm going to rejoice in something that was back there. I'm going to rejoice. When I can't find joy here, I'm going to rejoice on something that happened back there. And when joy comes out and it's a decision to be joyful, it shifts your actions. And people say, well, you're always happy. Why are you always happy? Because they choose to have joy and they choose to rejoice, not rehearse. It's just thinking. So we choose our thoughts, we choose our actions, and we choose our attitudes. No, I have an attitude. If you have an attitude, have you ever told them, little mister, you go back there and change that attitude? Huh? Your kids, now it's your grandkids, who knows, whatever it is. Somebody, you're going to change little mister. Little mister, little missy. Oh my goodness. Those are mommy words. And, you know, this attitude's going to shift. It's going to change. Because you're telling your kid they can choose their actions, and God's telling you, you can choose your attitude. And you correct attitude, not just the action. Because if you only correct actions, then you allow attitudes, you're going to have some bad actions. If you start correcting attitudes, saying you lose that attitude, when you lose that, you can come back in the community here. You need to correct this or you work them through it. But we need to shift because we get to choose our. So let me just, this. We're going to go through that more later. We choose how we handle conflicts or you choose how you fight. Oh my goodness, we're not supposed to fight. I hope you resolve conflict somehow and you don't ignore it, but you choose how you do that. So let's do it like adults. If a kid throws down a temper tantrum, You know, as a mommy, you're going to be like, get up off the floor. When we get home, you're going to get a spanking if you don't get up. And then they get up. And then they, you know, you're telling them you don't get to throw a tantrum. We don't get to act like children in our relationships. Because when we throw a relational tantrum, whether we're manifesting, getting mad, being stubborn, whatever it is, it's all childish. So we can't, we don't have that. We don't have that. God told us to be mature. We can't stay a child. We have a grace to be a child at first, then we have to grow up. Huh? Come on. If I invited Reed and Desiree over to my house and Reed throws his mashed potatoes on my wall, I'm going to be like, Reed, that's unacceptable. If little Lukey throws his peas, I'm going to be like, he's so cute. Well, he's even getting too old to throw his peas. But like, you know what I mean? When a kid does something, you give him grace. If an adult does it, you're like, you don't get to. This is unacceptable. So why are we accepting childish reactions in our relationships? Why are we manipulating by throwing tantrums? Why are we throwing anger fits and loud voices or tantrums or manipulations? Those are all childish actions. So we need to like break that down. We're going to break that down. And I'm serious. There's some simple tools that to help you shift those things. I'm sick of mashed potatoes. And I'm done throwing my mashed potatoes. I'm so busted. I'm like, you know, you threw your mashed potatoes right there. I'm like, oh, I'm so busted. I can't do that. Yeah. See, the thing is, if I learn it, then I can't do it. Because then I'm like double busted. He's like, you know better than that, little mister. Oh, God. Sorry, God. Sorry. Serious. So what's a child? Child doesn't clean up their messes. Literally, you're changing messes, right? Diapers. So we don't get to do that as adults. Come on. They clean them up. So we're going to clean up our messes and we're going to make good choices. And we're not going to perceive that the world's all about us. It's about relationship with God and relationship with others. If my goal is connection, I will treat it totally different. When you're in an argument, if yours is to get your way, you're going to mess up. If you're goal if your goal in a dispute is to be connected, you're going to treat that argument different. You're going to fight different. It's to just not choosing my words well, but that you're going to choose them and it's going to be different. So I'm just setting the hook for where we're going because I'm done preaching. Basically, we're going to talk about destroying the relationship. The next one in this series is called Destroying the Relationships, and I'm not going to teach you how to destroy the relationship. Hopefully, we were pretty good at that already. Some of you are really good at that. Sorry. It's like there was a time when I was super good at destroying relationships. It's like, whatever, I don't need anyone. It's like, how's that working for you? Not good, I'm alone. So we're going to help you pinpoint your weaknesses and how to stop destroying relationships. We're going to help you pinpoint destructive responses, which is going to help you in responding when people push buttons. Okay? So we're going to go through that and a bunch of other sermons, but that's the next one. So stand up with me today. Father, I thank you and I pray, God, that you would take us, God, where you want us. Take us to be those people who are so full of you and love you so much that God, it flows over in our relationships. And I pray right now, God, if there's anyone here who doesn't have that fullness with you, God, would you, I'm asking you just to bow your head for a second. If you really need that, if you say, I want more, God, if you're here and you say, I don't even know if I'm going to heaven and I want to be born again, with everyone's head bowed, would you just raise your hand and say, that's me, I want to go to heaven. I mean, I want that. If I've never prayed to ask God to forgive my sins, that's a starting point, okay? And now the next step is, once we're there, sometimes we just plateau, but like if you just say, like, I know I need to let go and shake off some of this past. Matter of fact, I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hand because all of us could shake off something from last year or our past to move into what God has you for this year. I'm just going to ask you all to raise your hand right now. Just everyone, just an acknowledgement. Two hands means you're fully surrendered. You can always do two. That's a good thing too. It's an international sign of surrender. I surrender, God. And I ask you, God, I ask that even through this journey, through January and February, the love month, hallelujah, Valentine's Day, yay. I pray we get better at loving. I know I use humor. I'm sorry if it's not like, I just can't be serious all the time. I'm just like, you know, but God, we love you and we want to love better. And I pray, God, that you help us to love better. So we surrender and ask you to rise up inside of us and more of you and less of us. More of you and less of us. And I thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hey, love you. God bless you. See you next week. Hey, Dr. Brian Simmons is really, I told my staff this. I said, hey, listen, I said, there's two people I really want this year really bad to come, and he's one of them. And he called, and they called me. I didn't even email him. And he said, we want to come here because he's coming to the Outpouring, which is going to be awesome. So you want to see him at the Outpouring. You want to come here on Sunday morning. Brian's off the charts. He used to be a missionary in Mexico, and he's just funny. And so if you think you're going to get a scholar, you're going to get a statesman. It's going to be awesome. So God bless you. See you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Be sure to visit summitsanmarcos.com for other exciting content from Summit Church.